you ever travel to the land of Israel, and you arrive in the city of Jerusalem, and if you decide to leave Jerusalem, it's not an easy thing to leave the city of Jerusalem. I enjoyed my time there, and when I arrived back home, Northern Ireland, my daily reading from Spurgeon that night was the words of Luke 24, where the disciples on the road to Emmaus returned to Jerusalem that same hour. But certainly, Jerusalem is a special place because of its history and because of the presence of the Lord in past days. But if you leave Jerusalem and you travel down the sandy hills, the mountains, towards the east, you will pass by Jericho, you will arrive at the Dead Sea, the lowest point on this earth, on land. If you follow the river Jordan northwards, you leave the barrenness, the wilderness, the desert behind, you'll move into a land that is green and fertile. The river Jordan then gives way to the Sea of Galilee, which was in ancient times called the Lake of Gennesaret. The earlier was called the Land of Gennesaret. The lake itself is some 4 miles in length and 2 miles in width at its widest point. And I myself will never forget the first glimpse that I had of the Sea of Galilee. In my mind, it is one of the most beautiful and peaceful places that I have ever seen here on this earth. And certainly Australia would rank up there most definitely, but the Lake of Galilee is something that was very special. And as I looked across that lake, looking at the sights that the Saviour would have seen many years ago, there is something about that place, something about its beauty, something about its history. I thought about its history, and as we travelled about the sides of the lake, we came to a city, a town, the ruins of a town. And the name of that town was Capernaum. That town has been mentioned in what we have read together in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and from the verse 20 through to the verse 24, especially verse 23, verse 24 themselves, where the Saviour says, "Thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell." The Saviour walked the streets of this town. The Saviour was found in this place. His witness, his presence was here. But yet, he says those solemn words, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell." How solemn those words are. A city, a town that has been exalted, a city, a town that has been blessed, would be brought down to hell. Certainly all that remains is ruins. And these cities, both those mentioned in verse 21 as well, treated lightly their opportunities to get right with the Lord. Treated lightly the presence of Christ that was among them. Nothing is left of what once was apart from ruins. And the scripture says they were exalted to heaven, spiritually speaking. So they were brought down to hell. And there's a great warning here. Because if there is no repentance by the sinner, if there is no heeding the call of the gospel, they will be brought down to hell. There is that exalting to heaven, as it were. There are those blessings and privileges that God gives. But if such things are rejected and neglected, the sinner will be brought down to hell. We see, firstly, here, that there was a day of privilege, a day of privilege. "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven." This does not mean that it was a heavenly city, a perfect city, a city that was sinless. No. It means that this town was blessed beyond all measure because Christ was found here. It had great and wonderful privileges because the Savior was found in this place. We consider And Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 4, and the verse 13, it says, I'm leaving Nazareth. He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast. The Savior dwelt in this place. He spent time in this town. He spent that period in this particular place. He didn't just come to preach. He didn't just come to do the work of God here in regard to his ministry, but he dwelt in this place. He would have been known. If we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and the verse 1, it's Capernaum again, and you hear, though it's not mentioned by name, says, and he entered into a city and passed over, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. The Savior had this connection with Capernaum. He had a bond. But I want us to see the privilege this place had. How was it exalted to heaven? We see here that, as we've mentioned, it was blessed by the presence of Christ. Christ dwelt here. The people in the town were blessed by the Son of God being amongst them. They would have seen him. They would have known what kind of a man he was. They would have looked upon his life, a life that was pure, a life that was spotless, a life that was sinless. We ourselves do not have the personal, physical, bodily presence of the Savior, but like those who were on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, we have the presence of Christ. We have the presence of His Spirit. We as His people are here to worship God today. And we know that the presence of Christ is in our midst. We've experienced the presence of Christ. We have the same message that Christ preached in those days. The message that has not changed. Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Christ's presence has been seen, has been noted, has been experienced in this congregation. Christ has spoken, Christ has blessed, Christ has saved. What a privilege that is to be part of a place, of a body of people who have known and experienced the presence and the blessing of Christ. In Capernaum also there were the people of Christ. Not only did he live there, but some of his disciples lived here as well. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 8, the verse 5, says, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there became unto him a centurion beseeching him. And the Savior healed this man. He entered into this town. Moving down to verse 14, he was still in Capernaum. And when Jesus was coming to his... When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Peter's house in Capernaum. And he came in and healed his mother-in-law. Today, if you go to Capernaum, and certainly when I was there in 2006, I'm not sure if there's been any demolition work that has happened since then, but the Roman Catholic Church has built a chapel over what they believe is the ruins of the house, which was mentioned here, the house in which Peter's mother-in-law was, the house in which Peter would have lived himself. And this chapel has three or four legs, lifting it up over this particular place. But we see the worship of Rome. We see how they have corrupted things. Peter here is mentioned as having a wife, and of course, it's interesting to note that the first pope apparently has a wife. Yet today, such things are not allowed. And there are contradictions with the Word of God. And this simple passage, this simple verse, highlights many contradictions, many errors that have taken place. But his mother-in-law, who was healed by Christ, would have had a testimony to give of what the Savior had done for her. So would be a servant of the centurion that was healed. He would have had a testimony of what Christ had done for him. A testimony to the Savior, to what he had done. Peter and the other believers would have lived lives worthy of the disciple of Christ. Yes, we can read in the scriptures of mistakes that they made, of problems that arose, but they themselves were disciples of Christ. They were not perfect, but they were disciples of the Savior. They would have been noted because they were with him. And as we consider the people that belong to Christ in this place, then we can think today of those who belong to Christ in our world. We have a great history of gospel heritage, of men and women who over the years have stood for Christ and witnessed for Christ and passed on the gospel of Christ. We have in this congregation men and women of God, those who have experienced the Savior, those who have testified of him. What a privilege that is. Sinner, you who have never turned to Christ, what a privilege that is to have amongst you, in your presence this day, those whose lives have been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who were sick, those who were deceived, those who were heading to a lost eternity because of this disease of sin. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ has healed them. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved them and redeemed them by his precious blood. What a privilege that is to hear the testimonies of those who have come to Christ, to see lives changed around us, of those who turn to the Savior, those who believe in him. There are many witnesses to Christ. There are many men who have testified of him across the years who think of the great heritage of the Christian Church. Men like C.H. Spurgeon, men like the Puritans, Thomas Manton, Richard Stiggs, John Owen, and many others, Thomas Watson, Thomas Manton, the list is endless. Men of God who preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, who left a testimony behind of how Christ had changed their lives. We think of John Newton, a man who, like us all, was a sinner, but a man involved in the slave trade, a man who was involved in a ship, a man who was rough, a man who knew nothing of Christ. Yet the Lord came and saved them. He later wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There was Fanny Crosby, the blind hymn writer, who, despite her disability, had within her soul that blessed assurance. The blessed assurance that she belonged to Christ. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. The Church of Christ has been blessed with testimonies of men and women who knew and loved the Savior. And you today, who are in your sins, have been blessed by testimonies of those who were in sin like you, but have been raised up, who have been saved by the grace of God. What a privilege that is. What a privilege this was to those in the time of Capernaum, those who saw the change in lives, those who had heard the news that Peter's mother-in-law was sick of a fever. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ came and changed her life and healed her. How wonderful that is. Certainly there are the people of Christ, and that's a privilege. There's the prayers of Christ as well. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed in this place. He prayed in this area. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it is mentioned in the verse 21 that he was in Capernaum, and verse 30 mentions Simon's wife, or Peter, or Simon's wife's mother, or Peter's mother-in-law, the verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Christ prayed in this area. He prayed in the area surrounding Capernaum. And while that is obvious that the Lord Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, who was in this area for a substantial period of time, of course he would have prayed. But there we have it, Mark 1:35, Christ praying in this area. Praying unto the Father. There are those who pray in this congregation for those who are outside of Christ. Praying that the Lord will move, that the Lord will see. There are those across this world who pray for souls to be saved. In general, associated with congregations, and by specific names, men and women who have burdens for the Lord to move. If you're outside of Christ, there are people praying for you. Congregation, friends, family members praying that your eyes would be opened, that you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to have the knowledge that there are those praying for you. What a privilege it is to have people praying. People who have that care and concern for your soul. We have the preaching of Christ as well. The Lord Jesus Christ would have preached in this area, and he did. The Sermon on the Mount is believed to have been preached on a hillside, not far from Capernaum itself. When I was there, it was only a short distance to a place that was marked as the Mount of Beatitudes, a place which is believed to have been the spot where Christ preached on the Mount. He preached that sermon contained in the first number of chapters of Matthew's Gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, if we turn to Matthew chapter 4 and the verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues. And while he was in Capernaum, we can certainly constructively assume that he would have taught in the synagogue. He would have preached in that place where the Jews met together. In Mark 1 verse 21, we see this very clearly. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Christ preached, verse 15 of Mark 1, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Christ preached in the synagogue. He went in and preached the gospel amongst the people. He preached to them to repent and believe the gospel. There was repentance in his preaching. Many today, when they come to preach, they forget about those words. In verse 15 of Mark 1, repent ye and believe the gospel. There is no repentance mentioned. Sermons about loving God. Sermons about living for the Lord. Sermons about the love of God and to sinners. But there's nothing really that we have to repent from sin. That we have to recognize that we are sinners. Repent and fully trust in Christ. We need to fully understand the doctrine of repentance. For Christ preached it, repent ye and believe in the gospel. Repent from sin and trust in Christ. The same gospel that Christ preached is the same gospel that we preach. The same message that needs to be hearkened unto by the sinner. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The parables, some of them were taught in this town and in this area. And certainly through the ministry of Christ, the people here were in no doubt that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. That Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, was the way unto heaven. When we consider the preaching of Christ, we think today of the preaching of the gospel in congregations and in churches. What a privilege that is. There are those who are tired of hearing the gospel. There are those who are fed up hearing the word of God, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. Time is moving on. They want the preacher to finish, to shut up perhaps, maybe terms that would go through the minds of some. And they want to get out. They come to the house of God just to put in the time, just to show their face, just to please friends or family. They come to the house of God to maybe feel good for the week, that they've been to God's house. They've nothing to worry about this week. They've spent their time with God. But when we consider coming to the house of God, it's coming to hear God's precious word, coming to listen to it, coming to hearken unto it. It's not something which we should sit through half asleep or focus in upon what we are going to do later on today or throughout this week. Just to be here and people to see that we were at the house of God. No, we are to listen. And the sinner especially should listen to what is being said, because the message of the gospel is of vital importance. Christ preached this message. He urged men and women to repent and to believe the gospel, because it was the only way of salvation, the only way in which they could be saved. And the town of Capernaum was exalted to heaven because of these things, because it experienced and the preaching of Christ. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, preached in this place. What a privilege that was. While we have the word of God, while His truth is preached, that is a great privilege. For those in this world, we don't have that privilege. Those in this world who perhaps have never heard the gospel. But what a privilege it is to hear the gospel even once. Just once. But what about time and time and time again? What a privilege it is to hear the gospel once. But what a privilege it is. What a mercy from God to hear it time and time and time again. There are those who hear the gospel on a regular basis. Those who hear the gospel Lord's Day after Lord's Day who have not repented. But there are those who have the privilege once, and by the grace of God, they trust in the Savior. A number of weeks ago, when we had the first of the youth meetings here, we heard a testimony from one of the students of the Whitfield College of the Bible, Craig Dennison. His testimony is on sermon audio. But we listened to a recording of it, and he was happy that we went ahead and we did that. But our brother wasn't brought up in a Christian home, and he was involved in sin the way that many young people are today, living for pleasure, but yet driving past the church in Banbridge, the Free Presbyterian Church. He saw there was a service on, and it was on in about an hour, so he went home and he changed, and he came back to that service. His first time in a Free Presbyterian Church, first time really hearing the gospel preached. But the opportunity was taken, and by the grace of God, he repented and believed the gospel. For the grace of God that worked there, but yet there are many who have the gospel opportunities, the gospel privileges, but yet they do not trust in the Savior. They see the power of Christ as well in miracles. We think of Peter's mother again. How lives have been changed. But there is that great privilege, the great privilege that Christ gave to this town of Capernaum, the great privilege, sinner, that has been given to you. We see secondly here, and quickly as the time is moving on, that there was a day of hardness. The day of hardness. There was a great prophet living among these people, a great prophet whose miracles they had witnessed. They'd heard the times of his ministry and power, yet many rejected. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says in verse 23, "For if the mighty works which have been done in me have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Sodom, a city renowned for wickedness, and for sin, and for corruption, and for depravity, a city destroyed by God. Yet Christ is saying that they have the same privileges as you do in Capernaum. They would have repented. City condemned and judged for wickedness. You see the mercy and the sovereignty of God there. There are privileges given to Capernaum that were not given to Sodom. He said, there are privileges that are given to you, privileges that we've mentioned, that are not given to others. We do not understand God's thoughts or his ways. They are beyond our comprehension. But the fact remains that there are privileges that are given to you, privileges that you experience that may not be there for others. What a mercy that is from God. The Lord looked to these cities to repent, Chorazin, Bethsaida. He said that if the works have been done in them, verse 21 of Matthew 11, have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, and sackcloth and ashes, and the same for Sodom and Capernaum. And for Christ, his teaching here really is, what we can draw out of it is that the more men hear the gospel, the more men hear of the need of salvation, of their sin, and Jesus alone who can save, the greater their obligation is to repent. The greater their obligation is to repent. Capernaum rejected Christ. And now Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Undoubtedly, there were those that did repent. There were the disciples down there, at least. But the majority of the people rejected. The majority of the people rejected the Savior. In Luke chapter 14, there are many excuses given as to why people reject the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a feast taking place, and there are many excuses given as to why certain people would not attend this feast. We find that hard to believe. If somebody was to have a feast and to invite us to attend, absolutely free of charge, why would we refuse? But there were those who refused. It's a picture of salvation, a picture of the marriage supper of Allah. And there are those who refuse. The reasons are given in Luke chapter 14. But one of the reasons was that a man had bought a piece of granite. He had to tend to this granite. That's why he couldn't come. One who bought by yoke of oxen. That's why he couldn't come, verse 19. Verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. We can see the boss in that relationship already. But these are reasons that people gave. Reasons as to why they missed this feast. The Lord Jesus Christ certainly applies this spiritually. There are reasons that people give as to why they don't come to Christ. Reasons as simple as business needs, as work, as employment, relationships and family as reasons why they can't come to Christ. Excuses. Yet in Matthew chapter 11, the Bible says, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Their excuses did not exalt them to heaven. The privileges exalted them to heaven. The blessings they received by having Christ in their midst, hearing the gospel. What a privilege. They were exalted to heaven because they neglected to heed the gospel. It was a day of hardness, a day of even of opportunity. There was a time in which they could repent, time in which they could turn to Christ, but that time passed by. That time passed by. Here in our midst have had gospel privileges, here in the Word of God, there is a day of opportunity, a day in which you can turn to Christ, but don't make it into a day of hardness. Turn to the Savior. How sad it would be for those who hear the gospel among us to be exalted to heaven through hearing the Word of God, but to be brought down to hell. How tragic. We see finally here there was a day of horror. There was a day of horror. Christ says, shall be brought down to hell. The people in these cities have long passed away into God's eternity. They've either rejoiced in the presence of the Lamb, or they've lamented in God's hell, as Christ is saying here, shall be brought down to hell. And one day this congregation will pass on. One day, if the Lord tarries, we will all be in eternity. But will we be in heaven with the Savior, having claimed the promises of the gospel? Or will we be cast down to hell, having the privileges, but casting them aside? There is that separation because of sin. There is that casting into hell, shall be brought down to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ taught this. There are those that do not like this doctrine in our generation, in this world, but they disagree with Christ. Christ taught it. Christ believed it. Christ warned about it. Christ, as God, knew it was real. Shall be brought down to hell. What a day of horror this was. Notice what it says in verse 24. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. We think of the great wickedness of Sodom. That Christ is saying it should be more tolerable for the Sodomite. It should be more tolerable for those who were burned with fire and brimstone than for the one who was in Capernaum. the one who heard the preaching of God's word, the one who saw the work of Christ, the one who was blessed by these privileges. Brother Vernon McShane, when he preached on this text, said that he believed that there were degrees of suffering in hell. He said that some will suffer more than others, but all will suffer for eternity. And he based his remarks on what Christ said here, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. More tolerable for those who did not have the privileges that Capernaum had. Great privileges, privileges that relate to privileges that you have today. The privilege of gospel preaching, the privilege, the presence of Christ, the privilege of seeing the work of Christ. It shall be more tolerable for Sodom. It shall be worse for Capernaum because they knew the truth. They heard the gospel. They will remember hearing the word of God. Yet they neglected what was said. The word of the preacher will echo in their soul forever. Those who heard Christ preaching and exhorting them to repent and believe the gospel will remember the words, will remember the opportunity that they had, an opportunity that has long passed by, an opportunity that will never return when the soul is cast into hell. There are many who have been blessed, many who have heard the gospel but have turned away from it. As we close, a couple of years ago when we were building our new church in Dungannon, in my home, there was a special service as the old building was closed down. It was to be demolished for a new building. And the services were packed out, many friends, many family members, many people associated with the church, many who had been married in the old building that had their connection came to the services. There was a lady there whose husband had passed away many years ago, as far as we know, with no testimony to the saving grace of God. She came that day to hear the word that was preached, to meet with people and friends on that occasion. She heard the gospel and she went out. She heard the gospel on the Lord's Day. The last gospel services to take place in that building. She had received gospel privileges over the years. But later that week, the Thursday, the Friday, she took ill. Early hours of Saturday morning, she went into God's eternity. I do not know where her soul is. But the testimony that she left behind was not one that trusted in Christ, a Savior. Do not know where she is, but the testimony left behind was not one that spoke of Christ. Heard the gospel. Heard the privileges, or experienced the privileges, yet Suddenly cut off, suddenly the soul being lost. How tragic it would be if she had never received Christ, going by the testimony that she had, testimony that did not speak of Christ. One who was exalted to heaven, but one who perhaps was brought down to hell. Many others have been exalted to heaven. Many others have been brought down to hell. I pray today that you're here outside of Christ, it will not be you. You listen to the word of God. You hearken unto the warnings of Christ, and you repent and believe the gospel. May the Lord bless his word, and for his name's sake, amen. We'll seek the Lord in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we turn to thee, and we thank thee for thy precious word today, and we pray that thou wilt apply it to our hearts and to our souls, that thou wilt speak on it. We realize the solemnity of these things. We realize the great blessings that many have. The great blessings of hearing the word of God. But yet they must make that profession of faith in Christ. They must repent from sin, and we pray that thy Spirit would draw souls to thyself. Glorify thy name and the salvation of souls, we pray. Father, we ask thee that thou would bless those who will remain for the fellowship meal. Bless those who will leave and go to their homes. And do us good, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.